Be sure to subscribe to the Front Row Knowles podcast and follow at Front Row Knowles on Twitter. Now back to at underscore Tom Block and Twitterless Keith Jones. Yes, you heard us right, in the Prime Meridian Bank Studios.
Welcome back to Front Row Knowles. Tom and KJ with you as we open up the Earl Bacon Agency hotline once again and say hello to longtime Florida State soccer coach Mark Krikorian. Coach K, how are you, sir?
I'm doing just fine, guys. How are you both doing?
Doing well. Doing well. We don't know the answer to this question, so I'll ask you, when you get your 300th win at a program like Florida State, what comes with that? Do you get a lifetime supply of soccer balls? Or, I mean, did you get an autograph ball from the team? Do you just turn the page and move on to the next game?
You know, you get a nice text message from Coach Mike Norvell and an awful lot of the other folks around here at Florida State.
Well, Coach, we tend to make light of it because you have rapidly gained them, but that is quite a milestone. You've got to be proud. I know you're proud of your team, and I know they're proud of you.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I guess we can look at it in a lot of different ways. Certainly, we've had an awful lot of great players here and great staff members that have helped take us to this point, but it also means I'm getting old. So you don't win a lot of games if you haven't been around for a long time, and I guess now I'm an old-timer.
Let me ask this though, Coach, and this is going bigger picture, and you know, you get so wrapped up in your sport, and every coach at Florida State is busy with their own sport, but you do interact and get to compare notes sometimes. And when you look at Florida State, I mean, you share the softball facility, and Joanne Graff's one of the winningest coaches in the history of the sport of softball, and of course Bobby Bowden and Mike Martin and Sue Semrau and Leonard, I think, are the winningest coaches in the history of their sports at FSU. And Chris Poole's moving. I mean, there's an awful lot of longevity and success. And I'm wondering what you've learned or gleaned or gained just from some of the folks that are your fellow compadre coaches.
Well, I think we have a really great bond here among the coaches, and a lot of sharing goes on and trying to assist one another in any way that we can. It's fairly common that I do pop into many of the different teams' practices and trainings to see some of the different teaching that's going on and learn from some of my colleagues here. And they're very generous and gracious with their time. And I think that we're all trying to help one another continue to be as successful as we can.
They say it's harder to stay on top of the mountain than to get there, because while you're getting there, you've got that as a goal. What's been your focus now that you've been number one here, and this year you're continuing to be winning and undefeated? What are the new little things that you're doing to keep everybody motivated?
Well, I think that you have to have good habits, right? At the end of the day, you have to realize what your identity is and then be true to it. You know, Tom, you mentioned Lonnie here in the complex. Boy, I got all the respect in the world for the work that she's done and the softball team, and watching her continue to grow the program into just a national contender every single year, and you know, winning the World Series and coming back and being back in the World Series year after year. But I think that we have very different ways of doing things. But for me, it's being a flexible thinker and stealing ideas from the way she's doing things and the way that Coach Norvell and previously, you know, Jimbo and Coach Bowden and all those folks that were so open-minded, so transparent, so willing to be open and sharing ideas. From my point of view, I think that there's a lot to be gained. And but at the end of the day, to get to your question, Keith, I think the most basic, most fundamental piece is continue to do what's made you successful. And for me, it's about working hard, surrounding myself with good people, and of course, doing a pretty good job recruiting.
Coach, this year's team compared to last year's team, I know it had to be a bitter ending the way it finished, because I think you had the best team last year, but it was a disjointed season. You played your games in the fall and then tried to have some exhibitions and peak at the right time in the tournament. Are you better suited to play a more traditional flow this year and go into it? And how much does what happened last year, I don't know if it's a just turn the page or if it is a motivating point for you and the team.
Honestly, Tom, I thought that through the balance of all of last year, we were the best team in the country. We played some of the best soccer in the country. what we know is to win a national championship, you have to have a little bit of luck. And through the course of the COVID era, our kids stayed healthy. They stayed safe. It didn't affect us a whole lot. But I thought on the in the day of the national championship, we played well enough to win. But we didn't have enough luck on the day. And again, I don't mean to take anything away from Santa Clara. They had a great team, a great game plan, and certainly worthy champions. But I think with a little bit more luck, that result turns a little bit differently. And, you know, for me, I don't have any ill feelings toward it. I'm disappointed, of course, that we weren't able to finish the game as we started the game. But I don't think about last year in regard to this year. This is a new team. It's a new preparation, new opponents, new schedule. So we're just going at it, looking at it one game at a time. All our focus right now is on Syracuse, who we have on Thursday evening, and then Miami after that. And then we'll turn to whoever's next on the schedule after that. But no, I don't, you know, for me, it's not about motivation. I'm motivated every day. I don't need to lose or to win to get more motivated. That's just not part of my DNA.
Coach, you're right in the middle of the ACC schedule, as you mentioned, Syracuse, Miami coming up. Talk about the league. Talk about how you're going to finish the season, what you're looking to do to posture yourself as you get ready for postseason. What do we have to look forward to?
Well, I think the league is as strong as ever. Right now, I think out of the top five teams in the country, the ACC holds four of those spots. So, and maybe another one somewhere in the top 10. So we certainly have four out of the top five, maybe five out of the top 10. And again, I don't spend a whole lot of time really looking at polls. The only one that matters to me and to us is the last one, right? All the others, that's all well and good, but it doesn't matter that much. But we think that the league is stacked again, and it is a bit of a gauntlet, and we need to be prepared for every game as we go into it and be ready to go out and perform.
Coach, the way the schedule worked out this year, it seems like it's I mean, I know the ACC is solid top to bottom, but you've really got some of the premier teams right at the end, which I don't think that's a bad thing as you gear up for the postseason. And just kind of your thoughts on that. And then the ACC tournament this year, Brett shared with us that it's only a six-team tournament. What was the thought process behind that?
You know, as a coaching fraternity here in the ACC, we're kind of all over the place when it comes to trying to figure out what the best format for an ACC tournament is. There are some, like myself, I'd rather not even have an ACC tournament. I think we go out, we play all of these heavyweights all season long, and we beat the heck out of each other, and then we come back and beat the heck out of each other again before the NCAA tournament. And there are some that think that that's great preparation for the NCAA tournament. For me, it's just more travel, more class time missed, and adding additional miles of fatigue on the players. But I don't know that we as a group have figured out a formula that works for all. I kind of like last year with just four teams, and at times we've had eight teams, and this year it's going to be six teams. So certainly every format imaginable, we seem to be trying, but I don't know that we've settled on one that that all of us truly enjoy.
Coach, every team has its own distinct personality. And if or when the time comes when you're retired and you and I are sitting around chatting, I'll say, well, tell me about that team or tell me about this team. So far, what you know about this squad, what's the number one thing you want to tell people about them?
They're so mature. They're so mature. And that comes with, you know, having the extra year for so many of these players with the COVID year and so on. But we have a lot of players that are older players, and you know, they're such accomplished players, and they're going to have nice long careers after they're done playing at Florida State as professional players and as national team players. And you know, of all of the things that I can say, I mean, very talented, but really mature. Every day at training, they come in with their A game. They come in to get better. You know, it's not a group that we really need to prod and push to bring the best out. They bring it every day. And I think if you have that attitude, that mentality, it becomes contagious, then the whole program continues to go and get better. So I would say maturity is probably the best characteristics. Now, for the coaching staff, I'd say immaturity is probably more on the other side.
Coach, I think it's probably a fair statement, though, that you typically have a pretty mature team. You've got such an international roster. I mean, if people are traveling thousands of miles away from home, not seeing their families and good with that, there's already a level of maturity. And then you add another year. I mean, that's even more so than what you're accustomed to, I guess.
Yeah, Tom, I think that's a great, great point to add that, you know, we do have such a diverse group and we have so many kids from so many different places with such different backgrounds. But, you know, they have a whole lot more in common than they than not. And, you know, they're all really good students. They're all really committed to the game. They're great in the community. So, you know, when I look at our kids, I think that they represent all of us in the fashion that everyone can be proud of, both on the field, but also in the community and in the classroom.
Coach, we'll finish up on this. I know you got some home matches coming up, and it's been quite the home field edge for you on the pitch here at FSU. Which is, you know, everybody wants to play at home, but what's special to you when you know you're at home and you're going out to the Seminole Soccer Complex for a game?
Well, I'll tell you, I think that the community has really embraced our team over the years, and the crowds we get are just fantastic. We truly have a home field advantage. Many of the places that we'll go and play, they're pretty sterile, and they just don't have the same energy that our crowd brings to the game. And I do think that it's a significant advantage to us. And that's certainly part of the reason that our winning percentage is so good playing here in Tallahassee.
Coach, thank you. And congratulations on the continued success and the 300th win. And thanks for being such a great ambassador for Florida State and the soccer and the Tallahassee community for that matter.
Well, thank you both, guys. Nice to see you again. And I look forward to the next time.
We're looking forward to watching.
All right, Keith. Thank you.
We'll take a break. Come back with more Front Row Noles right after this.
Fall into savings at Hobson Chevrolet Buick in Cairo, Georgia. Football season's finally here. The weather's great and the deals are great. You got to come check out our great selection of pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. Interest rates have never been lower and you'll never get more for your trade than right now. So with the best financing available, you can't lose. And don't forget to come see us for all your service and parts needs. Come see us or check us out at HobsonChevrolet.com. Buy your Chevrolet the Hobson way.
Getting the kids to practice on time. Remembering if it's your day to bring snacks. Making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Your local independent Auto Owners agent is the Earl Bacon Agency. Call us at 878-2121 or visit us on the web at earlbacon.com.
Be sure to subscribe to the Front Row Noles podcast and follow at Front Row Noles on Twitter. Now back to @_TomBlock and Twitterless Keith Jones. Yes, you heard us right, in the Prime Meridian Bank Studios.
Back on Front Row Noles, one segment to go. Keith, always good to catch up with Mark Krikorian. All he does is win, right? I mean, he's become a fixture.
You know, we tease him about things because he is so affable, but his accomplishments and what he's built, I mean, it's almost like Coach Bowden. We were around him for all those years, and then another 10, 12 years after he retired, and it just became commonplace. And you and I both have had the opportunity to travel with Coach Bowden when he was alive and out of Tallahassee, and his reverence and what he commanded away from Tallahassee. I mean, Coach K is the same way. I mean, you go out to California, you go up to Carolina, and they're going to talk about him in ways that, you know, bespeak and talk about how great he is. We're just so used to him, and he's so darn humble and a part of our program and such a fixture in the program that we take it for granted. But what he's accomplished is remarkable.
Noles back at home on Thursday in soccer. Thursday and Sunday, I believe, is the calendar now in October. And then obviously the postseason runs through the month of November. Let's bounce back to, well, congratulations, if we're running the gamut here, to the men's and women's golf teams for winning their tournament over the last couple of days. Good job by Amy Bond and Trey Jones at the Barber Nicklaus Invitational, I think is what it was called, something like that. So they teamed up, won a tournament, so that's good to see.
And, volleyball's had some big wins of late.
Yeah, volleyball keeps on keeping on. We'll get back to that sport and Chris Poole here in coming weeks. But let's jump back to football. First of all, Keith, you know, it's been at least a month since I've had a schedule rant about the ACC, right? Maybe a couple months. Can we just insert the rant from last year and the year prior?
I'll just close my eyes and cover my ears. You go ahead.
Florida State hasn't played at North Carolina since 2009 when Christian Ponder was the quarterback. Can we go ahead and just be done with the cross-division play once every 6 years, once every 12 years in the opponent's stadium and get this thing down to something that's a little more favorable in terms of seeing teams more frequently?
Just do away with the divisions and establish the schedule so that you might have, like in basketball, you got two or three folks you're going to play every year because of natural rivalries, and then rotate the rest, pick the top two, play in Charlotte, and let's be done with it.
I mean, that's how long it's been, right? I think 2009 since up there. So what do you think this weekend, Keith? I mean, the odds makers obviously are unimpressed with Florida State. They had Carolina at 18 or something like that.
I believe the game will be closer than that. I'm not one to tell you to go bet the farm on Florida State winning, but as we talked previously, it's not beyond the realm of possibility. This team, the issues, my opinion, are from the shoulder up. Our listeners are tired of hearing that term. This team can play well if it, as Bob talked about, when they eliminate the mistakes, when they eliminate the mental errors, and when they stay focused on what the game plan is and not try to do too much. I mean, as we've mentioned, these coaches have had success at other places. It's not like they forgot how to coach in COVID-19. And I'm looking forward to it. As long as the effort is there, as long as the kids are fighting, they have a chance. I wouldn't bet the farm on it. But by the same token, when you and I get together for our post-game show on our podcast, I won't be dumbfounded if FSU finds a way to win.
You posed that question earlier in the show about Sam Howell. So what if he had come to Florida State, Keith? So that means that his freshman year would have been 2019, which was Taggart's second year. That means Walt Bell probably is still the offensive coordinator. Kendall Briles never comes. Does Florida State win enough games with Howell then that Taggart's still the coach?
That becomes the question, and obviously we'll never know the answer. It's just a matter of opinion. But it does speak to the fact that, you know, the reputation of Florida State and what the school represented was able to attract initially some kids. And over the years, last couple of three anyway, some kids have gotten away. And that is just kind of par for the course of the way the program's gone. And that's what Coach Norvell is attempting to rectify. That's what his efforts and his coach's efforts in recruiting has been designed to do. The classes that, he's looking at least on paper for 22 and 23 by the metrics measure well. And we all know that's part of what it's going to take. You got to get the kids in, and then you got to coach them up and you got to develop them. And as Coach Kerkorian talked about, you got to have a little bit of good luck along the way. But that doesn't happen unless you maintain your consistency. You continue to work on those things which you know will ultimately bring results, and you stay focused. And so far, Coach Norvell and his staff have done that. We're just waiting to see the results of it, hopefully.
Keith, going back to the offense and the passing game in particular, because we've had this debate, and this is very simplistic terms, but they throw the ball better if Milton's in there and they run the ball better if Jordan's in there. Neither one is a slam dunk home run. But as Jordan was the guy last week, how do you get more out of the passing game than what they're doing? Because it really is simplified and scheming some things open, but it's not certainly a drop back and throw.
Well, I haven't gone back and charted, but if memory serves, I only recall two passes that I would consider down the field where the ball traveled 20 yards or more. Unfortunately, in both of those passes, a receiver was open and Jordan missed them. I think you've got to make that five or six shots a game. Be careful when you take them. Obviously, it puts you behind the chains if you're not successful. But if you can throw the ball down the field five or six times and hit one of them versus throwing it down two times and not hitting any, I think mathematically, if you like to work the metrics, that'll prove to be ultimately successful. And we've seen, you know, Jordan connect on some long passes. He just didn't connect on the two that were attempted last week.
And then the flip side, in Florida State's secondary, Keith, we've been looking for an easy button for several years and we haven't found it. You're the former safety. Where's the easy button?
I don't know. I really don't know. I thought Akeem Dent was going to be an answer. I thought, you know, times when they played Robinson back there would be an answer. Obviously, Williams, the young kid, has shown some flashes. I don't know, Tommy. I mean, you need to get another partner, I guess. I've run out of observations because it doesn't make sense to me. Zone is not hard to play. Mississippi 1, Mississippi 2, find somebody. And man coverage means that you got to fight for the ball when the ball's in the air. That, as we've talked about, is like rebounding in basketball. It's all attitude. It's all attitude. And those two things haven't clicked, and I don't know why.
You know, the listener comments have indicated I need to find another partner for a while, so maybe I'll just finally listen to him, KJ.
Yeah, you go ahead and do that. See what happens.
All right, Keith, we're out of time. Anything else you'd like to add before we do this once more after Florida State's game against Carolina this week?
Well, we just got to stay the course. Again, FSU could go up there and repeat what they did last year. Nobody expected them to win against the number 4 Carolina team as they did last year. That would be great. But if they don't, that does not mean that progress is not being made. We've got to stay the course. We've got to give Mike and the staff some opportunity. And, you know, it's hard. It's difficult. Nobody likes doing it, but it's what's called upon.
The welcome, not the welcome week, but the bye week will be welcome because a lot of guys are nicked up right now.
Yep.
And so they need to get through this. Certainly, if you could somehow miraculously escape with a win and get that second win and go into a bye week, everybody would be feeling great. But regardless, the bye week will be welcomed. Keith, you and I will convene late Saturday evening at some point, and we'll recap the Carolina game. Till then, he's Keith. I'm Tom. Thanks for tuning in to Front Row Noles.